Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive into commercial real estate and retail. This week, it's a whirlwind. News from Blackstone's global strategy to the resurgence of bin stores.
Yeah.
You heard that right, bin stores.
Bin stores.
Our primary source this week is CoStar News,
yeah.
Commercial Real Estate News Week of December 6, 2024. And a few related articles, as always. So
let's dive in.
Let's start with the big players. Blackstone has been on an acquisition spree, dropping a cool $50 billion in real estate in just the last year.
$50 billion?
$50 billion with a B.
Wow. That's a lot of properties.
It is.
And what's interesting is they're not just focusing on the U.S. market. They're snapping up properties in Europe, particularly logistics facilities, which might seem counterintuitive with the global economy, like, slowing down.
So why Europe?
Well, Europe currently offers lower borrowing rates and higher capitalization rates compared to the U.S.
For those unfamiliar with capitalization rates, or as they're often called, cap rates, they're used to estimate the potential return on a real estate investment. So a higher cap rate generally suggests a better potential return. So Blackstone is strategically positioning itself to capitalize on what they see as favorable conditions in Europe.
Makes sense.
And speaking of smart moves, they're also heavily investing in data centers, both in Europe and the booming Asian market. This is a trend that Nadeem Meghji, Blackstone's head of Real Estate Americas, highlighted in a recent interview. He said, and I quote, "Data is the new oil." And it's clear that Blackstone believes that. Controlling the infrastructure for that data is key.
Absolutely. And to illustrate just how rapidly this sector is growing, consider this. Phoenix, Arizona, a city with a significantly smaller population than Detroit, Michigan, actually has more data center space.
Wow. So it's not just the where, it's the when and the why.
Yeah.
All right. Let's switch gears from global power plays to a company facing some tough decisions closer to home. Dollar Tree, the parent company of Family Dollar, seems to be struggling with their family dynamic.
They certainly are. They've already closed over 670 underperforming Family Dollar stores and may shut down another 25. Back in June, they even announced they were exploring options for the chain, including a potential sale or spinoff.
They purchased Family Dollar back in 2015, but the chain has been grappling with profitability, facing fierce competition from other discount retailers, and feeling the pressure of inflation's impact on their target customer.
Yeah, and to make matters worse, analyst Neil Saunders is skeptical that Dollar Tree will find a buyer willing to pay their asking price. So it's a tough spot to be in.
All right, now on a completely different note, we have the curious rise of bin stores.
Bin stores?
Yeah, bin stores.
Yes, you heard that right. Bin stores are essentially discount havens, where merchandise is literally piled high in bins, offering deep discounts on everything from clothing to electronics.
So it's a treasure hunt for bargain hunters.
Exactly.
But what's driving this trend?
It's all about a perfect storm of factors. Surging merchandise returns a tough economic climate squeezing consumer spending, and retailers desperate to liquidate excess inventory. Just to give you an idea of the scale of this, the return rate for online purchases in the U.S. hit a record 17.6% in 2023.
Wow, 17.6%. That's a mountain of merchandise looking for a new home.
It is.
So these bin stores are like the ultimate recycling centers for unwanted goods. It's a clever business model, but is it sustainable in the long run?
That's the big question. On the one hand, they have low overhead, they're quick to set up, and there's clearly a demand for deeply discounted goods. But on the other hand, the competition is fierce. Inventory can be unpredictable, and there's a potential for them to cannibalize sales from the very retailers they're buying from.
It's like a delicate balancing act, then.
Yeah.
Speaking of balancing acts, Black Friday just wrapped up, and the reports are coming in. It seems like we're seeing a mixed bag of results this year.
Yeah, there are some positive signs. Foot traffic at malls was surprisingly strong, particularly at higher-end properties. And several major retailers are reporting double-digit sales increases.
Yeah, I'm hearing that American Dream, that mega mall in New Jersey, saw foot traffic surge 25% compared to the last two Black Fridays. But there's a catch, right? Online sales were down.
Exactly. It seems consumers are rediscovering the appeal of in-person shopping. As one retail expert put it, shopping online is convenient, but it can be lonely. People are craving that in-person experience, the thrill of the hunt, the instant gratification of walking out with their purchases.
Plus, no waiting for deliveries. So it's back to brick and mortar, but with a twist.
No.
So what's the overall verdict on holiday spending? Are the experts feeling optimistic?
Well, it depends who you ask. Rudolf Million of Woodcliffe Realty Advisors is encouraged by the strong foot traffic and in-store sales he's seeing. But Neil Saunders of Global Data is less enthusiastic, citing high consumer debt and the fact that the holiday shopping season is shorter this year due to a late Thanksgiving.
So the jury's still out on holiday spending. Now let's head south. where we're seeing a different kind of retail boom. Dallas-Fort Worth is experiencing a surge in demand for luxury retail space. What's driving this trend?
Well, it's a combination of factors. The Dallas-Fort Worth region is experiencing significant population growth, particularly in the outermost suburbs, and there's a growing demand for luxury experiences and high-end brands.
So it's not just about buying things, it's about a certain lifestyle.
Yeah.
How is this demand translating into real estate numbers?
Well, there's over 116 million square feet of total space in these higher-end retail properties. And they're commanding premium prices around $387 per square foot.
$387 per square foot, yeah.
That's significantly higher than other areas. But retailers are clearly willing to pay for the prime locations and the affluent customer base.
It seems so.
It's a testament to the power of location and a discerning clientele. Now, before we move on, I have to ask about a blast from the past. Didn't TGI Fridays just file for bankruptcy?
Yes, they did last month.
Last month. But here's where it gets interesting. The former CEO, Ray Blanchett, has just acquired 9 company-owned TGI Fridays locations out of bankruptcy court.
So he's betting on a comeback.
It seems so.
What's the story there?
Well, the deal, which costs $30.5 million, includes locations in both Maryland and Texas, some of which are among the most profitable in the chain, like those at the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport.
DFW. Okay.
It's a bold move considering the challenges facing the casual dining industry, but he clearly sees potential in the brand and its ability to adapt.
So we'll have to wait and see if nostalgia and a revised menu are enough to lure diners back.
We will.
Now let's switch gears to the office market. What's the latest in the Dallas-Fort Worth region?
We're seeing a tale of two cities. In Fort Worth, there are some encouraging signs of stability in the office market, with an average vacancy rate of 18%.
18%, that sounds relatively healthy. What about Dallas?
Dallas is facing a tougher time with higher office vacancy rates. It seems businesses are still hesitant about making long-term commitments, even as the pandemic's impact fades. This is leading to a lot of uncertainty for office landlords and developers.
It's a reminder that even within a single region, you can have very different micro-markets. So who's making moves in this uncertain landscape?
Well, in Fort Worth, we have Wilkes Development, a local real estate investor showing confidence in the market. They recently acquired One Ridgemond Center, a 10-story office tower, and plan to invest $9 million in upgrades.
$9 million.
Yeah.
That's a pretty significant investment. They must see potential there.
Now let's turn our attention to the workforce. We keep hearing about a strong job market, but worker satisfaction seems to be lagging.
That's right. Despite the strong job market, recent data from Gallup paints a concerning picture. Only 18% of workers report being extremely satisfied with their jobs, a significant drop from previous years.
So what's going on here? Are people just being picky? It's more nuanced than that. Companies are increasingly focused on efficiency and cost-cutting measures, which often translates into heavier workloads and restructured teams for employees.
As a result,
many workers feel stuck, overworked, and disempowered.
That doesn't sound like a recipe for a happy workforce.
Mm-hmm.
What are the potential consequences of this trend?
If it continues, we could see an increase in both burnout and turnover. It could also negatively impact productivity and company culture. This is a critical issue that businesses need to address if they want to retain top talent and maintain a positive and productive work environment.
Seems like companies need to find a way to balance their focus on efficiency with the well-being of their employees.
Absolutely. It's a delicate balance, but finding that sweet spot is essential for long-term success.
Well said. Now let's shift gears again and talk about something a little more, fun. Pizza Hut is trying out a new drive-through concept. What's the scoop?
Pizza Hut, along with other restaurant chains, are trying to keep pace with changing consumer preferences and declining dine-in traffic. So they're exploring drive-through and other innovative design concepts that emphasize convenience.
Okay, so what's so special about their drive-through concept? Are we talking pizza drones here?
Not quite drones yet, but they're definitely thinking outside the pizza box. Their parent company, Yum Brands, recently opened a drive-through only Pizza Hut in Plano, Texas, with a dedicated menu featuring items that are easy to eat on the go. This is actually Pizza Hut's first ever drive-through centric menu.
That's a pretty savvy move. It caters to our on-the-go lifestyles.
Exactly. They've already been incorporating elements like online ordering and curbside pickup. So this drive-through concept is a natural next step. It'll be interesting to see how this new format performs and if it's rolled out to other locations.
Speaking of comebacks, get ready for this one. Chi-Chi's is making a return. I thought this chain was gone for good.
It was until now. Michael McDermott, son of the co-founder of Chi-Chi's, just announced an agreement with Hormel Foods to revive the brand. They're aiming to open a yet-to-be-disclosed number of restaurants in 2025.
Wow, that's unexpected. What's driving this blast from the past? Are they banking on nostalgia alone?
Nostalgia might play a part, but McDermott believes there's still a strong appetite for casual dining experiences, especially those that evoke a sense of family and tradition. He's updating the menu to appeal to modern tastes while still maintaining the essence of the Chi-Chi's brand.
I have to admit, I'm curious to see how they pull it off. Okay, last but not least, we have the National Restaurant Association's latest survey. What are the key takeaways?
The survey reveals a growing sense of optimism among restaurant operators about their future prospects. This is despite the many challenges they've faced in recent years.
That's encouraging. What's fueling this newfound optimism?
Well, the trade group's monthly performance index actually climbed 1.6 points in November, surpassing 100 for the first time in 7 months. A majority of the survey respondents reported that they anticipate same-store sales and overall conditions to improve within the next 6 months.
So there's a glimmer of hope for the restaurant industry after all.
It certainly appears so. But it's important to remember that we're looking at a national trend here. Specific markets and segments may vary, so it's always wise to consider the local context.
That's a great point. Now, before we wrap things up completely, are there any other interesting tidbits of information that you think our listeners should know?
There is one more thing. Earlier, we discussed those bin stores and the surge in merchandise returns. Well, a striking statistic that didn't make it into our earlier conversation is that the total value of online purchases returned in the U.S. last year reached a record $247 billion.
Wow, that's an astronomical figure. It really underscores the scale of this phenomenon and how it's fueling the rise of alternative retail models like bin stores.
Exactly. It's a clear sign of the times. And it will be fascinating to observe how this trend develops in the coming years.
All right, I think that's a perfect stopping point for part one of this week's deep dive. We've covered a lot of ground. From Blackstone's billion-dollar bets to the return of Chi-Chi's and the rise of bin stores.
It's been a fascinating journey through the world of commercial real estate and retail so far.
Absolutely, and we're not done yet. There are a couple more interesting stories from this week's news that I think our listener will find insightful. Let's talk about the office market, specifically how the dynamics of vacancy rates are playing out differently in Fort Worth and Dallas.
It's a classic tale of two cities. Fort Worth is showing some promising signs of stability, with an average office vacancy rate hovering around 18%. This suggests a healthy balance between supply and demand.
That sounds fairly optimistic. What's the situation like in Dallas?
Dallas, unfortunately, is facing a tougher time with higher office vacancy rates. Businesses there seem to be more hesitant about committing to long-term leases. Even as the impact of the pandemic recedes, it's creating a lot of uncertainty for landlords and developers who are trying to navigate this shifting landscape.
So even within a single region, we're seeing very different micro markets at play. It really highlights the importance of understanding local dynamics. Now let's shift our focus to something that impacts everyone, regardless of industry, worker satisfaction. We've talked about this strong job market, but is everyone actually happy with their work?
That's a great question, and the answer is surprisingly complex. Despite the robust job market, recent data from Gallup reveals a concerning trend. Only 18% of workers report feeling extremely satisfied with their jobs. This marks a significant drop from previous years and points to a growing disconnect between employment rates and overall job satisfaction.
That's a pretty startling statistic. What's contributing to this decline in satisfaction?
It seems to be a confluence of factors. Companies are increasingly prioritizing efficiency and cost-cutting measures, often leading to heavier workloads and restructured teams for employees. This can leave workers feeling overburdened, undervalued, and lacking control over their work.
So it's not just about having a job. It's about feeling valued and empowered within that job. What are the potential long-term consequences if this trend continues?
Well, if companies don't address this issue, we could see an increase in employee burnout, higher turnover rates, and a decline in overall productivity. It could also negatively impact company culture and make it more challenging to attract and retain top talent.
It sounds like companies need to find a better balance between their pursuit of efficiency and the well-being of their employees.
I couldn't agree more. Fostering a positive and supportive work environment where employees feel valued and empowered is crucial for both individual and organizational success.
Well said. Okay, let's take a break from the serious stuff and talk about something a bit more lighthearted. Pizza Hut is trying out a new drive-through concept. What can you tell us about it?
Pizza Hut, like many other restaurant chains, is trying to adapt to changing consumer preferences, particularly the desire for convenience. They're experimenting with drive-through formats and other innovative designs to cater to those who are looking for a quick and easy dining experience.
So what's unique about Pizza Hut's drive-through concept?
Their parent company, Yum Brands, recently launched a drive-through-only Pizza Hut in Plano, Texas. What's particularly noteworthy is that they've created a dedicated menu specifically for this format, featuring items that are designed for on-the-go consumption. This marks Pizza Hut's first-ever drive-through-centric menu.
That's a clever strategy. It acknowledges that people are increasingly pressed for time and want their food fast and hassle-free.
Precisely. They've already been incorporating elements like online ordering and curbside pickup, so this drive-through concept is a logical next step in their evolution. It'll be interesting to see how it performs and if they decide to expand it to other locations.
Now get ready for this. Chi-Chi's, the beloved Tex-Mex chain that many thought was gone for good, is making a comeback.
Yes, you heard that right. Michael McDermott, the son of Chi-Chi's co-founder, recently announced a partnership with Hormel Foods to revive the brand. They're planning to open a series of restaurants in 2025, though the exact number and locations are still under wraps.
This is quite a surprise. What's the rationale behind bringing back a brand that's been dormant for so long? Are they just banking on nostalgia?
While nostalgia undoubtedly plays a role, McDermott believes there's still a strong demand for casual dining experiences, especially those that evoke a sense of family and shared traditions. He's revamping the menu to appeal to contemporary tastes, but intends to preserve the core essence of what made Chi-Chi's so popular in its heyday.
I'm curious to see how they reimagine the brand for a modern audience. It'll be interesting to see if they can capture the magic that made Chi-Chi's such a beloved dining destination.
Absolutely. Speaking of the restaurant industry, the National Restaurant Association just released its latest survey, and the results are quite encouraging.
Yeah, that's good to hear. What's the overall sentiment from restaurant operators?
Despite the myriad challenges the industry has faced in recent years, the survey reveals a growing sense of optimism among restaurant operators. They're feeling increasingly positive about their future prospects.
That's a welcome change. What's driving this renewed sense of optimism?
Well, the trade group's monthly performance index, which tracks key industry metrics, actually rose by 1.6 points in November, exceeding 100 for the first time in 7 months. This suggests a positive shift in momentum. Furthermore, the majority of the respondents reported that they expect same-store sales and overall business conditions to improve over the next 6 months.
So it seems like there's light at the end of the tunnel for the restaurant industry after all.
It certainly appears that way. However, it's important to remember that this is a national trend, and specific markets and segments within the industry might experience different outcomes. So while there's reason for optimism, it's also wise to consider the local context and specific challenges facing individual businesses.
That's a great point. Now, before we move on to our final thoughts, are there any other interesting nuggets of information that you think our listeners should know?
There's one more thing I'd like to highlight. Remember our earlier conversation about bin stores and the surge in merchandise returns? Well, here's a statistic that really underscores the magnitude of this trend. The total value of online purchases returned in the U.S. last year reached a staggering $247 billion.
Wow, that's an astronomical figure. It really puts the scale of this phenomenon into perspective. It's no wonder that alternative retail models like BIM stores are gaining traction.
Exactly. It reflects a significant shift in consumer behavior and the retail landscape as a whole. It'll be fascinating to observe how this trend evolves in the coming years and what innovations it sparks.
Okay, I think it's time to wrap up this part of our deep dive. We've explored a wide range of topics, from the contrasting office markets of Fort Worth and Dallas to the surprising comeback of Chi-Chi's and the rise of bin stores. It's amazing how much ground we've covered in this week's deep dive.
It really speaks to the dynamic nature of the commercial real estate and retail industries. You know, there's always something new happening, always a trend to analyze a story unfolding.
Yeah, it's like we've taken a whirlwind tour of the entire market.
Mm-hmm.
From billion-dollar deals to struggling chains, innovative concepts, and the surprising return of brands we thought were gone forever.
Absolutely. And amidst all this change, there's a common thread that connects it all: adaptation. Whether it's Blackstone strategically positioning itself in global markets or former CEOs betting on the revival of beloved brands, everyone is trying to find their footing in this evolving landscape.
Right, and even consumers are adapting. We're seeing shifts in shopping habits, a growing preference for convenience, and a renewed appreciation for that in-person experience.
It's a fascinating interplay between businesses responding to market forces. and consumers shaping those forces through their choices makes you wonder what the future holds for these industries.
Absolutely. What trends will emerge next? What innovations will disrupt the status quo? And how will consumers and businesses continue to adapt to the ever-changing realities of the market?
Those are the questions that keep us on our toes and make this such a captivating field to follow. But we don't want to just leave you with questions. We want to leave you with a challenge.
Ouch.
Yes, a challenge to take what we've discussed today and apply it to your own world. Think about the trends we've explored and consider how they might be playing out in your own industry, your community, or even your own life.
So are you seeing similar shifts in consumer behavior? Are businesses in your area adapting in innovative ways? And how are you personally navigating these changes as both a consumer and perhaps as a business professional?
We believe that true understanding comes from connecting these broad trends to our own individual experiences. It's about recognizing the patterns, the forces at play, and using that knowledge to make informed decisions.
So as you head back into your world, we encourage you to keep these trends in mind. Observe, analyze, and adapt. Because in a market as dynamic as this one, the ability to adapt is the key to thriving.
And remember, we're always here to guide you through the ever-changing landscape of commercial real estate and retail. So stay curious, stay informed, and stay ahead of the curve.
Thanks for joining us on this week's Deep Dive.